And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 23, beginning at verse 39. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 559 of your pew Bible. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. Acceptance from the cross. Acceptance from the cross. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. As we continue to study the words that Jesus spoke from the cross, we find this morning a word of acceptance. There's no worse place that you could find yourself than on a Roman cross. The Roman cross was designed to make a person die a slow, painful, agonizing, humiliating death. And the Romans wanted the crucifixion to be as horrible as possible in order to warn everyone in the empire that you did not mess with Rome. And so here are these two thieves that find themselves in that worst possible situation of their day. On a Roman cross, dying for the crimes that they had committed. One thief continues to blame his situation on those around him. He even blames Jesus for not getting them down from the cross by some miraculous event. But the other thief realizes and confesses that he is on the cross because of the thing that he has done. He then turns to Jesus and asks for mercy in the coming kingdom. The thief that asked for a miracle received nothing. The thief that asked for mercy received a miracle. He received the acceptance of God and the assurance of paradise. And we, like those thieves on the cross, time is running out for us, and we need to make sure that the miracle of the acceptance of God has been bestowed on us. And it's a great gift. We cannot purchase it at any price. But God is waiting to give us his acceptance through Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of the great truth of how great this gift is. In Romans 6:23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The cross is the symbol of the horrible imposition of suffering and is a brutal reminder of man's cruelty towards mankind. But for us, it's a symbol of rejoicing. We rejoice at the cross because it declares God's acceptance of us into his kingdom through the death of Jesus Christ our Lord. And every time we think about the cross, we should rejoice in God's acceptance of us. But we need to understand why God's acceptance is so vitally important to us. What are the consequences of God's acceptance? Well, the answer is in the text. So let us turn to the text to discover the consequences of our acceptance by God in Jesus Christ. Verse 39 says, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" We should rejoice because God's acceptance restores us from past failure. It restores us from past failure. God's acceptance gives us a clean slate no matter how dirty our lives have been before. And I have a question for you. As this thief spoke to Jesus asking for remembrance in the kingdom, what good deeds could he do to prove that he was sincere? What good works could he perform to show God that he had turned over a new leaf? None at all. His hands and feet were nailed to the cross. He could not give water to the thirsty. He could not give bread to the hungry. He could not visit the sick or the shut in or the imprisoned. He couldn't see to the needs of the poor. He could do none of those things that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 25, the things that would distinguish between the sheep and the goat, the saved and the lost. He could do no good work, nothing to secure his own salvation. And that's obvious. He was nailed to the cross like Jesus. All he could do was say to Jesus, "Lord, remember me." But I have another question for you. Since our hands and feet are loose and free, what can we do to show the Lord that we are worthy of his salvation? And the answer again is nothing. Nothing at all. None of our so-called good works will bring us any closer to salvation than that thief on the cross was. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags to the Lord. All we can do is what that thief on the cross did. All we can do is say, "Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me." The sins of his past put that thief on the cross. The confession of faith in Jesus Christ put him in paradise with the Lord for all eternity. The acceptance of God wiped his slate clean. When we come to Jesus with the same attitude that this thief had on the cross, our slates are also wiped clean. We cannot undo the past, nor can we do any great deed that's going to impress the Lord. We can only come before him and receive the acceptance that Christ offered to that thief on the cross and have our sins washed away. We should rejoice because God's acceptance restores us from past failure. We should rejoice at that. God's acceptance restores us from past failure. But the acceptance of God does more than just cover the past. God's acceptance covers eternity. Look at the text again. Verse 42 says, Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." We should rejoice because God's acceptance assures us of future security. This thief that hung on the cross of Jesus did not know the details of the kingdom that the Lord was going to establish, but he knew he wanted to be part of it. We don't know exactly how the kingdom of God will be established at the Lord's return. We just know we want to be part of that. There are many scholars and experts who claim today that they know exactly how God will usher in the next age and what's going to happen next. But so did the Pharisees and scribes in Jesus' day, and they were all wrong. The Son of God came into their midst, and they did not recognize him, even though they had their noses in the Bible. We don't know when and how the Lord will establish his future kingdom, but we just know we want to be a part of it. We don't know how Jesus will bring peace into this war-saturated world, but the Bible says that he will, and we trust that. We don't know how the Lord will teach all these nations that love to hate each other how to love each other, but the Bible says that they will, and we trust that. The Bible says in Isaiah 2:4, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." We don't know how God will bring this about, but we trust his word that says that he will. We don't know how the Lord will bring justice into this world of injustice, but the scriptures tell us that he will, and we trust that. We don't know how the Lord will be able to wipe all the tears from our eyes after we've seen his awesome judgment on the entire world, but the Bible tells us that he will, and we trust that. We don't know how God will resurrect our bodies after we have returned to the dust and the worms have had their way with us, but the Bible says that he will, and we trust that. The scripture says that we will reign on this earth with Christ for 1,000 years. I don't know how God's going to do that, but his word says that he will, and I trust his word. Have you ever sat worrying and wondering what will happen to you in the future? Have you ever looked back on all that you've done or failed to do and wondered how things will ever turn out well for you in the future? Well, what you need to do is what this thief on the cross did. He called on Jesus. He may not have done but one thing right in his life, but that one thing he did, he called on Jesus before it was too late. Our past does not determine our future if we take our case to the Savior as this thief did. If we ask the Lord to remember us when he comes into his glory, then his kingdom will be our future. That's our security. That is the joy that we have. The fact that we've been accepted in Jesus Christ means that our future has been determined. We don't have to strive. We don't have to struggle. If we've been accepted in Christ, our future is secure. We do have strife and struggle down here in this life as we go through it because we live in a fallen world. But we're not struggling and striving, trying to make it to heaven. That's already been fixed as we've accepted Jesus. The place in heaven is set the moment you accept the Lord. A better way to put it, the moment that you accept his acceptance of you. Because with Jesus Christ on the cross, that was saying God was offering the hand of acceptance to the whole world. We should rejoice because God's acceptance assures us of future security. God's acceptance assures us of future security. But the biggest problem that most of us have is dealing with the present. Listen as the Lord gives us a reason to rejoice right now. Verse 43 says, "And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." We should rejoice because God's acceptance sustains us in present circumstances. There is no waiting period with God. His acceptance begins the instant you come to him in faith. Jesus told the thief that his salvation had already begun. And we need to learn something from that. Most folks feel like they're on probation when they come to the Lord. Many times we feel as though God will toss us back if we don't measure up. Well, I've got news for you. God knew that you would not measure up before you came to him, and still he accepted you. You cannot measure up because Jesus is the measure, and you cannot outdo Jesus. You just have to receive Jesus to please God. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name. Most of us, like this thief, are bound up by the things that we've done in the past, or we're troubled by doubt for the future. What we need to learn is that when we bring our trouble to the Lord, he fixes the right now. The Lord calls us to live in the right now. The scripture says today is the day of salvation, but many people plan to get right with God later on. Today, this moment, is the only time that you have. You need to condition your heart and your mind and your soul to walk with God every moment of every day. And the first thing you must do is to come to him. This thief came to Jesus with nothing but a plea, "Lord, remember me." And that's all we need, a sincere plea to the Lord. He came confessing his sins. He admitted that he was receiving what his deeds had earned. He was not asking for justice. He was getting that. He was asking for mercy. Eternal mercy for a soul. And Jesus said, "Today you shall have paradise." We need to come to the Lord in just the same way, confessing our sins and asking for mercy. Too many people come to the Lord like that first thief did, with a set of demands. If you are the Christ, get down from the cross, save yourself, and then save us. He had his plan for the Lord already figured out. But Jesus knew something that that first thief did not know. Jesus knew that if he had gotten down on the cross, nobody would have been saved. If Jesus had gotten down from the cross, we would still be in our sins, and the judgment of God would be on us all still right now. The first thief gave the Lord his plan to follow. The second thief said, "Lord, whatever your plan is, remember me. Remember me." And the Lord says, if I may paraphrase, the Lord says, "Here is my plan. Let you and I meet up in paradise at the end of this day." I believe the Lord had a better plan. Are you still trying to make your way work instead of receiving the Lord's way? We need to stop for a moment and consider what it means to be accepted by the Lord. When you've been accepted by God, it means God's plan for your life is now in effect. Not your plan, but God's plan. When God accepts you, he puts his plan in place. Because his plan has been waiting all the time. And as soon as you accept him, he puts it into effect. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but you know the one who holds tomorrow. When you've been accepted by God, then what the Bible says in Romans 8:28 becomes true for you. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." When you've been called according to God's purpose, God starts to working things out for you. He works the bad things out so that they're good. He works all things out for your good if you're walking according to his purpose. So we should rejoice because God's acceptance sustains us in present circumstances. We have the presence of Christ as our constant companion, and that's a reason to rejoice. We have been accepted by God because of Jesus Christ, and that's a reason to rejoice. If we've been accepted by God, our souls should rejoice. If we've been accepted by God, all of our guilt and remorse in the past can be cast aside. God has washed us clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. If we've been accepted by God, all of our fears and doubts about the future have been cast aside. God has given us assurance of glory through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we've been accepted by God, all the burdens of this present struggle have been cast aside. God has given us rest through the finished work of Jesus Christ. If we've been accepted by God, we should rejoice because we've been selected by grace to serve God for all eternity. We've been selected by grace, not by works lest anyone should boast, but we've been saved by grace. And you will go crazy trying to figure out grace. Why did God choose to save me? Why did he pick me? Why does he keep picking me up when I fall short? We can't understand that. It's grace. It's the grace of God. You cannot explain grace. You cannot figure out why God reached out to you among all the people on earth. You cannot explain it rationally. You just have to accept it and say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God I've been accepted by God Almighty and I've been saved by the grace of God. We should rejoice every time we think of the cross because it means that God has accepted us in Christ Jesus. And that means more than you realize. The fact that God has accepted you. You need to think about what that means. In just a moment, I'm going to have an altar call. And as we stand right now, as we stand and prepare to come to the Lord, if you're just coming to Christ for the first time, you need to know that God accepts you right now just as you are. Don't wait until tomorrow to come. Don't go home and think it over. Come now. Today is the day of salvation. God is offering you his acceptance today. We are not promised tomorrow. If that's your case, you need to come. Come while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come and confess Jesus and you'll be accepted by God. Come and join this fellowship as a candidate for baptism or come by your Christian experience. The important thing is that you come. You don't need to wait. Come forward right now. If that's your case, come and receive God. Won't you come? As the choir sings, come. But there are others who should come as well. If you're a believer already and you realize that God has accepted you, but you need to change the priorities of your life and you want to do that right now, then you need to come. If you want to look for ways to be useful in the kingdom of God, if you want to tell others about the kingdom, if you want to rejoice in your acceptance and be faithful in your service, if that's your case, come right now. Come and receive God. Come in prayer and ask the Lord to make you useful in his kingdom. Ask the Lord to remember you. But there are others who should come as well. If you just want to thank God for what he's already done for you, if you want to thank God for the acceptance that he gave you long ago, for the guidance that he provides for you every day, for the joy that he brings to your heart every day, for the peace that you experience with him every day, for the power which he keeps your soul every day, if that's your case, come now. Come to the altar of God, all who desire prayer. The doors of God's church are open.